Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could come on the table, scrape it off, put it in a salt shaker, and tell me it's extra salty salt. I would still say, ooh, I love you. My guest today is a very funny comedian, actress, and writer. Her debut stand-up special, The Intruder, is now streaming on HBO Max, and she's my very first returning guest on Why Won't You Date Me? Wait. Actually, I think Sashir Zameda is the first.
Sorry, she's the first returning guest if you don't count the live shows.
Okay, if you don't count the live shows, thank you, Mars. Don't cut that part out. I like hearing your voice. Okay, if you don't count the live shows, this is my very first returning guest. Ooh, and I'm so excited. It's Asko Akuska. Wait, I didn't say your last name right. I didn't do it.
You did.
Asko, did I?
Yeah, I was like... so stoked. Yeah, it was perfect. I mean, but if you want to say it for the second time for fun.
No, I don't. If you said I said it right. Because I learned how to say your first name. It's not that hard. You just don't say the U and it's pretty phonetic. Mm-hmm. But your last name, for whatever reason, I think it's maybe too many. I don't know. It scares me.
No, it scares a lot of people. It scared. Do you remember E.T. the ride at Universal Studios?
I sure know. What?
So there was a ride for E.T.
Can they announce your name?
At the end, E.T. says goodbye to everybody on the bikes. There's three bikes. So it was me, my mom, and grandma. My grandma's name is Ying Shi Li. Mm-hmm. Ying Shi Li, Atsuko Okatsuka, and my mom just goes by Linda. And at the end, E.T. waves goodbye to you. And when I say our family broke E.T., okay? It's just, goodbye. Goodbye, Linda. You know, it was like that.
That's very, very funny.
Well, it's, that ride is no longer with us that I know of.
It's not?
Yeah, that's maybe why you never got to ride it, Nicole.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't really do amusement parks.
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
They just don't seem... Okay, so my whole thing about them is like, okay, so we all gather to be outside, to stand in line for a ride that you may or may not like, that may make you queasy, and then you have to pay $100 for fucking water, mm-hmm. And then you have to eat nasty food. Although I will say,
yeah,
I went to Disney... for my birthday.
Okay.
And
I had the best chicken fingers I've ever had in my whole life at the Toy Story fucking space cafe or whatever.
What? Yeah, I've never eaten at that space cafe. Toy Story space cafe or whatever.
It's good.
Yeah, some people are like restaurant like connoisseurs of Disneyland. You know, they go to mm-hmm. Disneyland just to eat, some people. Like, you can eat while people go on the Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff. People make reservations to eat there.
Wait, you can eat at Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes, you can sit by the waters where you watch all the people on the boats, and then you can, you know, have your first date or whatever, or serve divorce papers. I feel like it's more of a serve. It's more of like a divorcee vibe because it's in the dark.
Here's the thing. If I were to get married and then get divorced, I would love to be served papers in a very public way.
Yeah, because, you know, you're here to be seen.
Yes. Kind of like how Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis, how he served her papers while she was literally on stage at a work function. Ugh. I live for it. I love it.
Okay, how would you do it? Let's paint the picture, okay? Nicole Byer, you were in love, but this man, no longer for you.
Not for me. He did something terrible, which was fall out of love with me. So I'm serving him papers wherever he's in public. If he goes to Starbucks every morning, serve him at Starbucks. If he loves to go to museums on Saturdays, I'm serving him at the museum on Saturday.
Of course. Yeah. Because then he has to agree too. Because yes. Everyone is like, oh, is that Nicole with papers? Is that Timothy Chalamet, her ex? I don't know. I don't know who you would be with.
Imagine dating Timothy Chalamet. He's too thin.
I always think that too, where it's like, okay, little peanut brittle, like, you know.
Too small.
Too small.
You can't help who you fall in love with. But like, I dated this dude who was so thin. Mm. And I recently like stumbled across him on Instagram and I was like, this is the man I was crying about. This like string bean motherfucker who's just like teeny fucking tiny. I could blow him over and I would just blow and he'd fall over. Why am I like crying about him?
No, that's a good point. Just like, oh, somebody I could just, you know, and he's and he's gone.
Yeah, bye bye. Wait, have you ever pined away for somebody?
Pined away meaning like cry over? Is that
cry over, sob over, drive by their house late at night being like, why won't you love me?
Yes, and I was with that person. Yeah, my last ex-boyfriend, it was like that. It was very dramatic. I would drink and drive to go to the place I know he's at, which is not his house, like somebody mm-hmm. else's house. And I would like, I remember, you know, seeing his, getting out of my car, seeing his license plate, and then running over to it, falling to the ground and crying and reaching for it. I made sure my arm was outstretched in case he saw me, like in case he mm-hmm. came out. Isn't that's so pathetic. And he was also very small too.
Oh, a very small one. Was he tall and small or short and small?
What's 5'10"?
5'10 to me... Okay, here's something toxic. 5'10 to me is small, but I'm only 5'5", so that is taller than me.
Yeah, so, but you know, sometimes it's just like, you know what it was? The personality.
Mm-hmm. How long were you with that person?
Too long. 7 years.
7 years.
7 years. It was very toxic. He was like 12 years older than me. We met when I was 19, that kind of thing. And then...
Wait, 19? That means 12 years, 29, 31?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
30? Ugh. What did you talk about?
I know, right? Well, you know, I feel like I kind of, not an old... I hate saying old soul, but, you know, I was raised by my grandma, someone 50 years older than me. So I could hang. You know what I mean? I yeah. wasn't like, ooh, skateboarding or whatever teenagers were. You know what I mean?
Ooh, skateboarding. skateboarding. Ooh, lollipops. It's like, oh, okay, I guess that's a child.
Lollipops. I was just naming items that I just seen on teenagers. But yeah, I wasn't just like, ooh, Hollister or whatever. You know, I was I would watch difficult movies to get through and stuff and be able to talk about it or whatever. And so, but I think I was mostly trying to catch up to him because he was a filmmaker. He was my teacher. You know, all of it was toxic. Oh. That's how we met. I was his student in community college.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's in. And then you were together for 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. There, yes.
That is a long time to stay in a relationship. Okay, here's my thing. After you get out of a 7 year long relationship, like, was it hard to open your heart up again? I can't imagine being with somebody for 7 years. Like, that's so long.
I know. It is it is very long. But I think I was like already trying to move on while I was in the relationship. So it was actually not that hard, unfortunately for him. You know, like I was able to get over it. And I was like, I can finally have my slut phase, you know? I went wild. I tore up so many cities. I was like, okay, I need to stop before I get pregnant, you know? It was like that.
Ooh.
Everyone I met.
Wait, everyone you met, you were just fucking?
Yeah, everyone. I was like, if they were down too, I was like, yes, I don't care.
I don't think I've ever had like a real hoe phase. It's hard for me to gather dicks. It's very hard. I've, for the last 5 years, have been begging for dicks publicly on a podcast.
But also, you have self-love. You know, I know you would.
Do I?
Maybe it's some standards, too. You're also not just, like, closing your eyes and throwing a rock, whoever it hits. You know what I mean? You're not doing that. That's what I was doing.
I try, and I gotta say, you can have no standards, and then the world will have standards, and the world will be like, no, ma'am, I do not want this.
Oh, my God. Honestly, slut phases are so overrated. It's, like, really toxic. You're drunk all the time. You can't remember where you were, you know. I will say I never got sick during that time, which is wild. Like, I remember hooking up with somebody in a dance club in the bathroom, and we were rolling around on the dance floor.
Oh,
disgusting, right? Just making out, eating each other out. It was, right? Gross. I know. It was so gross.
Wait. In the bathroom of a club, you're just eating each other out?
In New York. Yes.
You know? Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like not all that great, but I didn't get sick. And so, and I was like, I didn't get sick for like a whole year after that. And I was like, is that how the vaccines work? You know? A little bit.
That's what the vaccine is. They roll specimens around on the floor of a bathroom in a dance club, and then they inject you with it. That's the vaccine that the conservatives are afraid of.
I can't help but wonder, it did make me stronger, all those germs at once. You know,
honestly, I do think they maybe made you stronger. I don't know. I'm very much like, I love wearing a mask because people are fucking nasty. But then that's how you build your immune system up. Nasty people who don't wash their hands. I was watching a clip of this podcast. I can't remember. It's like two women from Boston. And they were like, yeah, I don't wash my hands every time I use the bathroom. That's like insane. And I was like, what? And then the other one's like, yeah, I mean, if I dump one out, then I'll wash my hands. And I was like, ew.
Oh, my God.
Y'all are nasty.
I gotta say, Nicole, I love the things you consume, like the things you watch. I mean, last time we were talking on your podcast, you mentioned a boy who had like 65 teeth in his mouth or something. And I was like, where do you read this stuff? It's just like on your alerts.
Listen, my internet is very fun and curated for me. Here is the weirdest shit you could ever want. I don't know. It was on my explore page on Instagram, and I was like, why does Instagram think I want to listen to nasty white women talk about how they don't wipe or fucking wash their hands?
Well, because you mentioned it, yeah, and because you did watch it, that's going to be more of your
Yeah, Instagram's like, this is what you want to watch. Let's go. I have a question. Okay, how did your parents meet? Wait, how did you meet your husband? I feel like you said this on the last time you were on, but just refresh me and the audience.
Of course, yeah. We met through a mutual friend who was making like a short film at the time, mm-hmm. and I was helping to produce it, and Ryan, my husband, was acting in it, and...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I remember. And then you guys just like fell in love. How long ago was that? How long have you been together?
We've been together the same amount of years that me and my ex were, 7 years. It's kind of my favorite number.
Uh-oh, Ryan, watch out. How did your parents meet?
My parents met on this dating game show-ish thing in Japan. That my grandma signed my mom up for it. They were living in Taiwan. My grandma saw it in the trades and was like, you need a husband. You're 33.
Oh, that's very funny. You need a husband. You're 33. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Your grandmother would be like, you've been need a husband, Nicole. You're almost 40.
She doesn't think that way anymore because I think the experience made my grandma realize traditional ways really messed up a lot of our family. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And because she wanted to be traditional about shit, like being like, my daughter, mm-hmm. she's 33 and single, a loser. She did an unconventional thing. What the fuck? Dating game show? You know what I mean? That's not traditional. That's not normal.
It's not normal and it's not traditional. But then your parents, how long did they stay together?
Barely. Like just, they stayed long enough to have me. So like a year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think they got straight to like impregnate, you know, and then literally she was pregnant, had me, and then they got divorced soon after that. And so, yeah, in a weird way, it's like screw traditional values, because when you rush into things, when you obsess about like traditional marriage, hurry, get married, it's like you can screw it up. You can be like, oh, that doesn't work for reasons. You know, there's different ways of doing love now, or some people don't even need romance, a romantic partner, you know, but you do need friends.
Yeah, I got enough friends. I do think I need, well, I don't think I need a romantic partner. I just think I want one. I think it would just be nice to come home to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And be like, and do the little kissies.
I would love to do little kissies. Hi, I had a bad day at work. Did you make dinner?
I think I got married because I just wanted like a best friend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where I'm like, people think it's gross that we do everything together. I'm like, nah, I think it's awesome. You know, it's because we're kids, like we're childlike, you know? And so it's mm-hmm. like we just didn't want the responsibility of having to do things alone. Like, well, I just realized, I asked Ryan the other day how to turn on the washing machine. And mm-hmm. That's how he realized that he'd been doing the laundry all these years. And I swear, Nicole, I was shocked too. In turn, I was shocked too, where I was like, whoa, it has been you like this whole time.
It has been you this whole time. Wait, that's so funny that you didn't know how to turn on your washing machine.
You know, when you've watched someone else do stuff, you think uh-huh. you did it too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Sometimes I'll like go off about a recipe that I cooked one time, but I'm like, oh no, that was just like Top Chef. Like I just watched that. You know?
Yeah. So you do everything with your husband?
We do. Yeah. He tours with me. I'm such a ditz. I'm so clumsy. Is it clumsy when you like trip easy and stuff? That's mm-hmm. yeah. And so that's me. I could be dead in a ditch if I don't have like someone being like, hey, look out, you know, keep your eyes open.
So he tours with you. He Like, what else do you guys do together? Like, you literally do every single thing together. You, like, wake up together, you go get breakfast together, you get lunch together, you work out together.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I do my dance workout videos on my own, but I did think about getting, like, a, this is how sick I am, how sick we are. I thought, okay, what if I get a tandem bike? You know, those bikes with two seats on it? So if I'm exercising, he's exercising, you know? If I'm biking, he's biking. Mm-hmm. We're going to the same, so everyone knows we're together. I'm sick in the head like that.
That's not that sick. I think some couples are good like that.
Yeah, yeah, where we don't have us.
And some couples need a little bit of space. I'm very curious about this, like, always together. Do you ever just, like, wrap your arms and legs around him and then say, I'm never letting you go?
I guess I've never said those exact words. I love that. I think that's what you should, you know, it's a very Nicole. It was so cute hearing it. And maybe I will say it tonight. I'll say it tonight. I'm never letting you go. That might scare a person. I never say things like that. I just always go, gosh, isn't it so cool? We get to do everything together. I make it sound like that. So it's not as scary sounding.
Wait, does Ryan has a job, right?
He works with me now, so.
Oh, I love this. You are the corporation.
Yes.
He is an employee of the corporation.
Yes, so he's sort of like my tour manager. He's pretty much my tour manager, and he does all my socials, for example, all the pictures, videos, that's all him shooting it. He'll do like graphic design work because he's an artist too, so he's able to, like, you know, do the creative stuff. Yeah, so more things we're doing together.
I really do love this, and you never get sick of each other.
We don't. I mean, of course he'll play like his video games and then I'll be like writing my jokes or something, but yeah, I think it's because we're fun first, you know. We're not like trying to figure out something difficult or we need to have this talk. It's always like, if we do have to have a talk about something that's more intense, we make sure to get through it. And then we always have something fun that we do afterwards or something to reward ourselves. Like, again, we're very childlike.
This sounds adorable, and I'm really jealous of your relationship, and I feel like I can openly say that, and it doesn't sound hateful.
No, and
I want that.
We'll get you that.
How? Where? When?
Fun first. You're so fun, Nicole, and so another fun person who will value that over anything in a relationship. It's not like, I want someone who loves their career and is ambitious. Like, sure, all those things. But I think, like, the thing that really, because you value fun.
Yeah, I love tee-hee-heeing and having a nice time. It would truly be a dream to meet someone who is just, like, responsible, has a career, but, like, is just like down to clown. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, totally, totally. And so that's out there. I mean, where do you usually meet people?
This is the thing. I have no idea how to meet people in person anymore. I've been out to the bars, not recently because she has COVID, but I went to a bar recently and I was like, I don't know how to hit on people anymore. And then also I'm getting older and I don't know how old anybody is anymore. And I'm like, is this person very young? I can't fucking tell. And then what do I say to this young man? Like, granny wants your penis. Like, what do I say? I don't know. I'm getting old. And then I'm on the fucking apps and they're all awful. I think I've just really hit a wall and I can't figure out how to find anybody. I'm on Raya. Nobody wants me on Raya.
Oh, Raya is overrated though, isn't it?
You know what? I wouldn't know because nobody wants me on it. Hinge is really dried up. People are asking to pee on me on Tinder. It is awful and I hate it so much. I think my only hope is to be hooked up with somebody that somebody knows. I don't know. Atsuko, do you know anybody? Do you have anybody?
It's so sad.
Does Raya know
anybody? It's so sad. All I know are comedians, you know, because it is hard to just generally meet new people as adults. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all work-based. You're working all the time. You're always on set. You're always doing a podcast. You're always doing shows. You're always touring. So it's going to be like, I guess you date your assistant, you know, or...
I guess I don't think she would like that very much. I think she'd be like, this was not in the job description. I certainly don't want this.
And so it is tough. But I do really, I loved your pickup line. Hey, it's Granny. Granny wants your penis. See, that made me laugh. That would make him laugh too, whoever it is.
Maybe.
And then boom. You know, or like, he would be like, what? That was the weirdest thing anyone's ever said to me. And that is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. And then, boom, you're making out. You're rolling on the ground in the nightclub. Oh,
I would love to make out with somebody. That sounds so delicious.
And it's, yeah, well, once you wait out your quarantine period, you can get back to doing that.
I'm going crazy. I'm just inside alone.
I know. It's like, girl, it's okay. This is the period where you can like, ooh, it's so fun to like, what is it? Muster up horny energy too. It's like, okay, I can't leave the house for, I don't know, 10 days or whatever, right? And so like, I'm ready to explode with this horniness. And then you can finally leave. You've tested negative. Boom, the door's open.
But who am I fucking? Where am I relieving my horniness? That's the biggest question. There is nobody.
Have you ever dated someone where you were friends with them first? I can't imagine doing that, but I know a lot of people do that.
A lot of people do that, and I have never done that. I've hooked up with people, become friends with them, continued to hook up with mm-hmm. them, but like it's never blossomed into a friendship or like a relationship. And yeah, I've never been like friendly with some, like just friends and then been like, let's date.
Yeah.
That seems wild because I feel like it's like you romantically get involved and then you become friends.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. That's not even like the connection you connected on initially, right?
Yeah.
So, but even having a friend that you can have sex with sometimes, that's really impressive. That's so cool. Like that's really impressive to me. Because what, like, so while you're hooking up, you're still friends? Or do you try not to talk like friends while you're hooking up? Do you role play suddenly?
No. So you, like, I've never been, like a texting, like, where we text all the time and, like, hang out all the time, hook up. It's like, oh, we're, like, friends and we sometimes end up at the same place together and then we'll leave that place together and mm-hmm. hook up, but like we're not like, ooh, let's hang out on Friday and then end up hooking up. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like we may end up at the same place, we know each other, we run in the same crowd, and then sometimes we just go home together.
That's fun.
I don't know.
And then
it is
because, well, and then so after you hook up, like, you know, you go, okay, back to, you know, see you again, maybe at another function, kind of. Is that how you say goodbye? I don't know.
I mean, I think you just say goodbye. You're just like, all right, see you around.
That's so adult. Like, you are so adult. I love that.
Oh my God, thank you so much. Nobody ever calls me an adult. That was kind. Wait, on that note, let's take a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who, like,
is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Oop, beep, boop. Boop, 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 boop. We're back.
Hi. Hi. No, you're a very playful adult. But like, honestly, I always think like being single and having to date around, that's way more adult than being married. Getting married is the childlike thing to do. And I really believe it.
I would love to be a child. I just really, I just want your relationship. That's all I want. I want somebody who loves me a bunch and wants to be with me all the time and do the things I want to do and like love me or whatever.
Do people ever approach you to be their third?
All the time.
Oh my God. And it's like, do
people ask you to be their third?
People ask us if they can be our third. Yes. They do ask that. And
have you ever taken anybody up on it?
Well, we've discussed it, you know, where we were like, what would that look like if we, you know, expanded our relationship and, you know, there was a third? And he was like, well, what would you want in a third, you know? And I was like, well, maybe like they, when we wake up, they have coffee made for us and maybe maybe they can, you know, help with the laundry. And then Ryan,
so you want a housekeeper, you want a maid.
Ryan goes, you're describing an assistant. And I was like, oh, well, then maybe like that. Yeah, I don't need to expand my mind and my push my memory to the limit. Like, you know, dating a third person, you just have to like, there's more energy and brain space you have to, and heart space. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. Remember their diet. Remember their interests and thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I barely remember what I like, let alone a second person and then a third person.
Yes. So that's a lot. So no, we haven't taken someone up. But we've, you know, we've dabbled in like, ooh, let's see what this like weird swing party is like in San Diego. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gone to just look at what Republicans are up to. Because honestly, the swing party world, swing party world is like Republicans.
Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting. That I feel like, okay, so swinging is Republicans and orgies are Democrats.
Yes, yes. being poly is Democrats. Calling yourself a swinger, that's very straight, very traditional.
Yes.
It's just like...
And it's like, I only swing my wife around and then I sleep with other women and there's, that's it. Yeah. That's it. I can't do anything else to do. Get that penis away.
Yes, yes. They don't want their penis to touch another one at all, you know, let alone be too close to one. Yeah, it's very conservative. It was very funny to watch. And they have these rules where it's very like gendered, you you know, like the men have to come completely naked. Shoes are allowed, you know, but the women have to be in sexy lingerie, you know? And so Ryan.
Wait, that is hilarious that men have to be naked and shooed. And then the women have to be in lingerie.
It's so dumb. It's like, why does that make that more man-man? You know what I mean? It just looks silly. All these naked dudes with sneakers on, you know?
And I'm just like envisioning New Balances. Like, it was. Like some real dad fucking shoes.
It was, because you also, you know, are kind of walking around a lot. So, and mingle, you know, moving. Maybe you'll be doing some physical stuff. So it was just so silly.
That's fun. I really love that you've done that. I see. I would love a partner to just like explore weird shit with. I want a sex positive partner who's down to clown and just like tall.
Above 5'10", as we discovered.
Above 5'10".
Because 5'10" is small.
I think 5'10 is small, even though I am only 5'5", but I don't read 5'5". Mm-hmm. When I sit down, I seem taller because my butt is so fucking big.
That's so you want someone you can sit next to.
Someone who I can sit next to and they're still taller than mm-hmm. me, which is, I think, a hard slice of pie to serve. I don't know. I just made up a phrase.
I love that colloquialism. I'm going to be throwing it around. And you best believe tonight when I role play with Ryan, I'm going to be starting with, Granny wants your penis. I'm going to try that on him.
Wait, do you guys role play?
We did role play, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic a lot. But actually not sexually. We would be like, oh, hey, you know, we would like pretend there were other people around. We would pretend that like in our backyard, when we entered our backyard, it was a bar, and we would like, mm-hmm. it was actually sad. We realized we just missed our friends. And then when we do it in bed, it's a lot of him. It's up to him. So it's kind of not fair where he has to. He's like a one-man improv team. And he plays different people for me, which is so sweet. Oh, yeah.
That is very sweet.
And they all tag team me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's very, very kind. Up, oh, here's a fireman. Up, oh, here's a paramedic.
Yes.
Up, oh, here's a nurse. Up, oh, here's a garbage man.
Yeah. No. That's Nicole, that is so funny because you're just naming like different occupations, and that's how Ryan was doing it too. And so I had to stop him to be like, hey, I can just like just be a different voice, like you don't have to, because he kept reintroducing himself. He'd be like, hey, it's Carl the truck driver. And then he'd, you know, we'd be having sex, and then he'd be like, oh, I gotta go. Oh, hey, it's Jean-Pierre, the train driver, or whatever. And I'm like, why do you name the occupation? I don't give a fuck where you work. I just want to know I'm gang banged by 10 people.
That's really sweet.
But that was your inkling too. Your inkling was to name all these occupations. Hey, I'm a firefighter.
Hi, I work at McDonald's. Would you like me to enter you?
And I was like, I don't give a fuck where you work.
That's funny. That's sweet. Your whole relationship is making me horny for love. Who said I love you first?
I did, because I'm a chaos factory. Like a month in. Okay. Yeah.
A month in, you said, I love you?
Yeah, yeah.
And then did he say, I love you back?
He was very, very sweet about it, because he wasn't ready to say it, but he didn't want me to feel hurt. So he said, I hear you and thank you so much. And I like you so much and I love hanging out with you. And I can feel in my heart that I'm also getting there too with you, or something like that. So very mature.
That is very sweet.
You know, instead of being like, LOL.
LOL, my dude.
Yeah, totally. Because that's easy to do. I would, you know. It's easy to like not want to address something that you want to meet the person halfway. So,
God, that's so nice. I want to meet someone who's nice like that, where I'm like, leap, leap, bloop, it's been a month and I love you, be with me forever. And they don't just go, oh my God, you fucking weirdo. But I don't know. I don't think I've really loved anyone that I've dated. Well, no, I did love this one guy. Mm-hmm. We dated on and off for like 3 years. It was so fucking toxic.
No.
But like, you couldn't tell me that I wasn't in love with him. Mm. But I think I was in love with what like could have been. I was like, this could be a nice normal relationship if you like went to therapy and like acted like a whole different person and were like kinder and not crazy.
There was just a lot that you would have to keep afloat and like jump over. There were so many hurdles, it sounds like. But 3 years is a long time, so you do want it to work and have it be the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was more off than on, but when it was on, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Atsuku, you just recorded your HBO hour.
I did. And you...
And
go ahead.
Yes. No, I was going to say, you're the second Asian American?
Yes.
Are you Asian American?
Yeah, Asian American female stand-up. Yeah.
Since Margaret Cho to do HBO hour, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's incredible. It's also, okay, I don't want to take away from how incredible that is for you, but I will say it is so insane that it took so long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's years, years in between the two of you.
22 years.
Mm-hmm. That's wild. That's so nuts. But I'm so happy it's you because you're so funny and so wonderful. And you once did monologues at like an improv show that I did. And you were just so effortlessly funny. And everyone after the show was just like, God, she's so funny. It was like hard to like make her funny stories like funny via improv. But yeah, you're the best, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy for you. How was it shooting it?
Thank you, Nicole. That means so much coming from you. You're an inspiration. You are in the thank you credits, like I said, because of everything, you know, all that. You're all that and more to me, too. And you helped me pick out my nail color that is prominently featured in the special. And so it's a neon yellow. I was going to go with green, and that would be very different, honestly, because my earrings...
Well, you said you were wearing blue, so I was like, what's going to pop with blue? I think this neon green is going to be cute. And then I did see pictures, and it does look really good.
Yeah, and my earrings are neon yellow, too. So it's like, what was I thinking? Of course, listen to Nicole. Always listen to Nicole. And the taping was awesome, but looking back at it, and I'll be honest now, but I full on had a cold the day of the taping.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but I was in denial because, you know, I had worked so hard for this moment, and all these people flew out to New York to the crew and my director, Tig, and everyone was there, you know, and I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was like, oh, I think I just have a headache. I think, you know, I have the chills because, you know, it's New York. It's so chilly. And I didn't have COVID. COVID is what shuts down productions, right? But we all know you can have monkeypox or the flu and the production will still go on.
And they're just like, we don't give a shit.
We don't have rules for that. We haven't figured that out yet. I did the first taping. It was great. I had adrenaline. I was on a bunch of Tylenols and a bunch of cold medicine by then.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the second show, like halfway in, I was like, telling jokes, I was moving around, and it hit me. I was like, oh my God, I'm really, really sick.
Oh no.
And so if you watch the special, I used most of the first show. You because we were talking and you were like, you might end up using a lot of your second show, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did the opposite because, you know, my body was slowly like getting sicker.
Your body shut down during the second show.
Yeah, it was like, bitch, you have a, you know, cold. And so yeah, and so there are moments we had to take out some of my sniffles, too.
Oh, no!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is one of those things where you're like, I just gotta get it done, which is toxic, but also, I don't know how else you do it.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, in retrospect, yeah, I would have been more honest, but I was like, I stayed masked the whole time. Mm-hmm. Besides, I was on stage, and then once I got off, I put my mask back on too. But yeah, it's wild. It's that like hustle mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh gosh, like I'm just the second one, you know, of Asian American female standups on HBO. Like I can't fuck up now. I can't mm-hmm. screw this up. You know, I want to like uphold it. And I want the third person to have their special. I don't know when we can reshoot. The turnaround for this is 2 months, you know? And so it's a lot. And I think what you were saying, you know, it's culminated into this. It's so wild, Nicole. Don't you think that, like, we know so many people who were the first to do stuff in the comedy world?
Yes.
And it's like
comedy's been around for a while. The industry's been around for a while. And it's so wild when it's like, oh, the second Black woman to do this, or the first Black person, or the first Asian American, or the first Indian American. And it's like, what? Why? Why are these platitudes still happening? Like, it should just be, everybody gets shit. It's wild. It's truly wild to me.
Yeah. And how, you know, and then we have to also stay on top of it and mm-hmm. sane and nice, because I want to be nice, but it's hard because it is a lot. It's like, okay, don't screw this up. Okay. So here I am doing a special with a cold, you know, mm-hmm. because I want the third person to get the special and I want this to do good. So I like pushed myself. And then, you know, the next day I was hungover. I was like, I might die. I think I'm going to die.
I might just really pass away.
Yeah, I had this like crazy cold, and then I drank the night, you know, because I was so excited mm-hmm. that I got through. I did it. And then, yeah, I was like, the next day I was like, I think I've cut my life short by like 20 years trying to be the second Asian American female stand up to do an HBO special. And, you know, Margaret is like sober now. Like the industry was not easy on her too. She had an eating disorder, all these things, you know. For what?
So, like, I watched her show, All America Girl. I loved it. I thought it was so funny. And then reading articles about it afterwards where they were like, you're too fat, this, that, and the other. And I was like, too fat? Mm-hmm. I think you all were just confused by a round face, because round face does not beget fat body. Like, some people just have round faces. And then also, I was like, she was a little bit bigger than other people, but, like, I loved that. Like, I loved seeing someone who looked kind of like me.
They put so much pressure on the first, you know, it's like, well, mm-hmm. I mean, do we want this to be the first impression? It's like, screw you. They were going to make her audition. They, you know, they made her like have to prove herself to play her own part. And it's like,
wait, they made her audition for that? Wait, maybe I did know that. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, I think, yes, I believe that was the case. And then they said, lose weight if you want to keep the role too.
Boy,
and
oh so boy, then, oh boy. It's very she fucking did this, like, rude.
Oh, like a pomegranate diet where she was only eating pomegranates or something. She went through stuff like that. And that, I don't know if you eat pomegranates. I don't know if you're a pomegranate fan.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Yeah, those things give you the shits. Like, that's why you would lose weight, because you just immediately, if you eat like two, you know, you're on the toilet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How wild. I did not know that. I did not know it was nature's laxative.
Yeah, but my point is, like, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. But, you know, she has such levity about it mm-hmm. and grace about it. Because when I asked, you know, I did a video with her talking about this. And then mm-hmm. when I said, Margaret, do you have any advice for the third person? She goes, we're antiperspirant, you know. Please don't forget to wear antiperspirant the day of your taping, because I can see the sweat stains that go all the way down to like my hips still mm-hmm. 22 years later in that special. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. That's so cool that like you didn't make it about a negative experience. She was still like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah.
I do like when people can stay positive about something that wasn't all the way positive, but I don't mean like toxic positivity. Like, I think it's good to talk about like what mm-hmm. went terribly, but it's like, well, don't put the trauma that you went through on the third person. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, it's like, mm-hmm. let's keep it nice and light for them so they can have their own experience, and their experience isn't colored by maybe like what you went through. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we got to take a break. Speaking
Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
So you went to Edinburgh and toured The Intruder.
I did.
At Edinburgh, you have to do what, like 30 fucking shows or?
Yeah.
How many shows do you do?
Yeah, I ended up doing 26 shows in a row. Yeah. And I did 12 before that. I had been doing a bunch of runs of it in all the JFLs, which is the comedy festival that happens in Canada. And sorry, that was for your listeners, not telling you what that is.
I know what JFL is. I knew you were explaining it for the listener. No, I'm kidding. It's whatever.
But Scotland, Edinburgh is so intense. I had 2 mental breakdowns. I wouldn't recommend it, honestly, for especially, yeah.
Is it back to back? Is it 26 days back to back doing the show?
Back to back doing the show, rewriting it as you workshop it every time. I did a different version of it every day. You don't have to do it that way, but that's how I did it.
I don't think I could do that. That's wild.
Yeah, it is. And you're performing to Scottish farmers most of the time, and they're just staring at you.
Did they laugh? Were they into it?
They treated it like I was doing a tragic play or something.
Oh,
like,
no.
I swear I'm up there. I'm just like, I swear this is a joke. And then they're just like staring at me like I'm a witch.
Oh, no. You know?
'Cause also they're kind of a little backwards still. You know, they're unlucky if they've even heard of Ali Wong. So let alone seen my bowl cut. you know what I mean? Doing stand-up in the UK, that's not really something they're not used to. My bowl cut in the UK, they mostly seen it on white men. You know, that's who I saw it mostly on, like people who were trying to look like the Beatles or whatever still.
When did you come to decide that you wanted to have a signature bowl cut?
I think 3 years ago. It's pretty new, actually.
I feel I've only known you. I guess I've only really known you for 3 years.
Okay, maybe 4 years. I've had it like 4 years. Yeah, I guess we've really only known each other for 4 years since Let's Go Ots Go, and you came on to do the show, and you were the reigning champion.
That show was so much fun.
It was so fun. And then, so we were trying to, you know, make it a TV show. So, but Quibi, it was Quibi. So, you know.
Oh, Quibi. Quibi Goodbye. Gone before it came. Goodbye, Quibi.
But what did stay was my haircut. So.
And I do like it. Wait, so tell me about these 2 mental breakdowns. Were they terrible mental breakdowns?
Oh, you know, one was lighter than the other one, only because it was the second one. And you feel like after, you know, I felt like I was sort of trapped, and it didn't make sense for me to be there. I was like, I could just be touring this to my fans in the States or something, or in Canada, North America's, instead of people who just buy bundles of tickets to a bunch of shows at Edinburgh Fringe. So they're just like, you know, we love that it's cheap to watch anything here. It's not a comedy festival. So people are watching a ventriloquist before you, or maybe maybe a tragic play or a solo show about surviving cancer. And then they might see your show. By now they're super drunk, you know, and you're doing stand up for an hour. Maybe they're not into that. And so, yeah, it was just a lot. And so I never cry, but I broke down and cried, and I couldn't sleep at night. And Ryan would have to console me, and he would sing to me, so that I could sleep, so that I could feel like, yeah, I wasn't trapped in this country with shitty food, too. On top of that,
Scotland has bad food.
Oh my gosh, how do you fuck up a hamburger? I don't know, but they did that. They did that. Rock hard.
Rock hard?
Rock hard meat. And they're like, oh, we have to cook it through, you know, because mad cow disease. I was like, why is everyone concerned about, like, diseases from, like, the 1600s, you know?
I've never been to Scotland. I do want to go because I do want to pick up a nice little Scottish boy and bring him home with me.
Yes.
I think my best bet to finding someone is importing them. I feel like, because sometimes I'll swipe on the apps and I'll be like, well, I've come to the end. We're now repeating people. So I guess I gotta leave the fucking country to find somebody.
That's brilliant. Why won't you date me? International season.
Oh my God, where I just go around and I'm like, all right, Scottish man, why wouldn't you fucking date me? And he's like, all right, that's hard to date. You are not a girl for me.
Oh my God, that's a really good, from what I know, that's a great impression. I thought I was talking to Seamus, not Nicole.
Thank you so much. Okay, so you met your husband in person. What advice do you have for me and our other single people listening on how to talk to people in person and how to meet the love of my life in person?
Oh my gosh. I think if you just unapologetically be you and the fun, loving self that you are, which is why everyone's drawn to you, that's truly all you need to do. You know what? You don't go and approach anyone. Let them come to you. Because,
oh, Lord, let them come to me. I'll be waiting for an eternity.
You're wild. No. They will come. But, you know, you can try putting yourself out there. But also don't, just no self-judgment. You did good. No matter what comes out of your mouth as the first line. Because it'll always be funny and so great because you're Nicole.
Okay.
And to everyone listening, same thing.
But here's the thing. I keep reading that men do not like funny women. But that's not true. Your husband loves a funny woman because you're so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that's why, like, go for people who, you know, prioritize that. Like, looking for the levity in things, you know, someone who does, like, have a sense of humor. I think that's very important.
Does Ryan have any siblings? Any brothers?
He has two brothers that are very different. And
How old are they?
they are in their 40s. They are in their 40s.
Okay.
Are they single? Nicole, you look so happy and excited. How am I gonna answer? They're married with kids.
Okay. Wow. She thought she had an in. She thought something might happen. She thought she might be sister-in-laws with a friend. And the answer is no, thank you, Nicole. You can't have this either.
Oh my God, it was so heartbreaking. I couldn't even answer.
It's okay. Does Ryan have any friends?
All his friends are now my friends now too. So yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, look, we're always on the lookout. You know us. And girl, last time I saw you, when you came to my show, you had a friend, a boy.
And that there. Went bye-bye.
Yeah, but I was like, at the moment, I was still happy for you.
Yeah, but you know, things come and go. They come very fast and they go equally as fast. But okay, ask Ryan if he knows anybody, and then you rack your brain and you try to think of if you know anyone for me, because she's looking.
Nicole, when you say it like that, my God, yes. Right after we get off from here, I'm out in the street screaming. I'm gonna have printed pictures of you. People are gonna know that. Oh my God, I love Nicole. Yeah.
They're gonna be like, is she missing? Why do you have printed pictures of her? Is she okay? You're like, yes, she's just still looking for someone to love her.
Do you think that'll make you look good at all, that like I'm out there doing that, or no?
I think it'll make me look great. I think when people start like really helping me and putting my face out there for the people, I think that's going to be really helpful. And I think it's going to be a useful return in people being like, yeah, I like this piece of paper of this woman. I'm going to date her.
Piece of paper. Oh, my God. You are art. I picture an art gallery, like an art show where it's why won't you date me? It's you, right? And it's there's printed pictures of you, like, uh-huh. I was passing out in the streets, descriptions of why Nicole is the best, and written on the walls like they do for art, because you are art, and video projections of you just, you know, being you at pole dancing class, you know, out and about in the streets, you at protests and booty popping at them, you know, whatever, right? and then in the end, you get to, you're sitting on a throne, right?
Okay.
In your favorite position, I don't know, legs spread out, I don't know, high end. And you know, and then it's just like only men are allowed at this show. And they, after they see and really get to know you by looking at all the art pieces, they get to meet you in the flesh. And, you know, they come to you and tell you why you need to date them. Oh, God, what a beautiful art show. I'll
curate
it. What
a beautiful art show. Also, I could just envision the amount of rejection I would get. Just like they get to the end and they're like, ugh, not for me. And she's just too available. Not for me.
That's not true. Like, there's a line of people trying to court you, and I will curate the hell out of it. Look at me. I'm an art gallery owner. Look at my look.
You do look like an art gallery owner. You're wearing, I think, a New Works jumpsuit, and then like this like Sherpa brown coat, and then you've got your beautiful haircut. Yeah, I see this. A quirky gallery owner.
Yeah, so I dream art show. You know, I'm always trying to, maybe it's back to like the game show days, you know, but like sometimes those shows work. That kind of thing works. I don't know. Like Love
maybe.
Is Blind.
I like it. Let's fucking do it. Atsuko, we've come to the end. I have a question. I think I asked you this last time. I don't remember the answer. Would you date me?
100% yes.
That might have been your answer from last time. Well, it's nice that you would date me. I really would like you to speak to your husband tonight to see if there's anyone in your lives that you can set me up with, because it's coming to the end for me. I'm getting too old. I need to find somebody before I die by myself.
Yes, 100%. No, not tonight. I'm not waiting until tonight. I'm right after we get off. Remember? I'm going in the streets and talking.
Yes, go head to the streets, please. Okay. Well, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? Wait, what do you want to promote? Your special. It's on HBO currently.
Yes, you can watch it on HBO or HBO Max, whichever one you have a password to. It's called The Intruder.
And I'm sure it's so dang funny. I actually think I'm going to watch it after this. Okay, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you write me something nasty hitting on me, but no pictures, Mars doesn't want that, I will read it out loud and you have to hit on me in a nasty way. This person said, "Hi, Nicole, I feel really terrible for you having to read that terrible Shakespearean message on the episode with Cola Scola, so I wanted to give you a fun, easy read for a change. Here it goes. I'll munch on your pussy till it smiles at me. Tee hee." Okay, bye bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.